Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Morehead, Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about the city council meeting that happened earlier this week. It was the very first in-person city council meeting that has been conducted since the pandemic began. So kind of a big change.
It's the first time that we've met in person for a city council meeting since March. So, you know, it was nice to be in the same room and see everyone again. You know, it really changes the dynamic of conversation, I think, when you can really be in the room and feel everyone's presence. So we had the meeting at the Brown County Board of Education office. It just gave us a little bit more room to spread out there. And it was a really, really nice setting. So we were happy to be able to do that.
I guess even though it was back in person, it still looked a lot different with social distancing and masks and all following all the CDC guidelines.
It did. We were all at least 6 feet apart. Most of us were more than 6 feet apart. We all wore masks through the entirety of the meeting also. So it had a different feel, but again, nice to be in person.
I've been obviously watching the numbers of Rowan County and with Morehead State University, and a lot of people were really nervous with the students coming back into town, expecting large spikes. And although we did see some increased number of cases, really, I feel like they've plateaued again. And I don't want to like jinx it, but, you know, that says a lot about the things that are being done within the city in order to combat COVID-19.
Absolutely. You know, I know people sometimes look at the overall number. The judge executive shares the number every evening. That includes new cases. But I think it's important to point out that currently we only have 12 current cases, 12 active cases. So even though you'll see, you know, we've had a total of 189 cases, that's since the beginning of the pandemic. And so people are really doing a good job with continuing to wearing face masks, social distancing, and that goes a long way. It's really played a huge role in keeping our community safe and healthy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that were discussed during the city council meeting. First and foremost, Ms. Chrissy Perkins was honored, a friend of mine, and I think a lot of people in this community really look up to her. Tell me what she was honored for.
We gave Chrissy a certificate of appreciation and recognition for a project that she started called 1 Million Pieces of Trash. And so if you're unfamiliar with the project, she found that there's a lot of trash, a lot of people that litter throughout our community. And so she challenged the community over a period of time to pick up trash, count the number of pieces of trash, and kind of submit that to her. And she's keeping a running total. And they want to get to 100 million, well, not 100 million, 1 million pieces of trash to keep our community clean. She told us that she's had people representative of 5 different countries that have started in on this challenge. She's heard from states all over about it as well. And so they've collected over 100,000 pieces of trash so far. They're running strong. She gave a challenge to city council over the next 24 hours to pick up trash, be aware of trash. And we're going to turn that number into her at the end of today also to add to that total.
It's a really exciting project for beautification of the region. I see her post on social media when she goes out to the lake, and she'll just, on a quick lunch break, she'll just pick up a few pieces of trash that she sees around. And I know that the region has really benefited from that. It's been really fun to watch. A couple other things that you personally discussed. You have started a book club, and the first book is going to be discussed on Friday.
Yes. So we actually, we chose Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson. That book suggestion came from some different community groups and focus groups to kind of kick off this project of One Community, One Read. It's a great book if you haven't started it yet. One of the appealing things about that piece was that there's an adult version, a young adult adult version, an audiobook, as well as a movie. So lots of different ways to kind of read that, so to speak. We have over 70 people signed up, people in our community, outside of our community, and in multiple states. So really nice to have buy-in from the public for that. And we're excited to have those discussions and really just use it as a platform to promote literacy.
And then over the weekend, last weekend, there were, I mean, there's always runners in downtown Moorhead, but it was kind of a special event for the weekend because we had Boston Marathon runners right here in Moorhead.
We did, and we had four people who ran a full marathon in Moorhead, which is 26.2 miles. That's a long time of running, especially when you're in one central area. The Boston Marathon this year was canceled due to COVID, but participants were given the option to run the marathon virtually. And so they had a specific day and time that they had to complete that by. So we kind of tied it in with the concept of Run Moorhead, which is going on through the month of September. You can sign up on the city webpage for that. It's a 5K or a 10K. You can break it up over multiple days, however you'd like to do it. But we kind of put that together to recognize these runners who participated in the Boston Marathon. We set up a finish line at the city park. It is still there. So if you want to go out and do your Run Moorhead miles, stop by the city park, take a picture at the finish line, and share that with us on social media.
There was some really exciting new news discussed in city council meeting, something that I hadn't heard about anything about at all before the discussion. There is going to be a new commercial development in Moorhead.
Yes, so there was a proposed project last night. It's contingent on some next steps, but we had a developer make a proposal to City Council about establishing a new TIF concept. So TIF is a tax incremental finance project, and so what it is the city and or the county would pledge a certain percentage of taxes towards this project to reimburse the developer over a number of years. So we had a really great presentation from developer Pat Madden, and he is looking at a project site when you come off of the interstate and the Fraley Mobile Home Park. And he is working on developing that for both retail and restaurant development, which I think could really, be a great asset to our community, whether it's drawing people in for tourism or as we consider ourselves kind of the regional hub, people from other communities would have additional resources also.
And do we have any idea about what kind of businesses that he plans on putting in that area?
We don't know that yet. So the next step is a public hearing, which will be held on October 6th. People can submit comments or feedback to the city prior to that, and we will address those virtually, as well as take comments on a live stream during that public hearing as well. So if you have questions, concerns, or any feedback at all, send those to us at the city. We will start compiling those and get that information together. After the public hearing, a local development plan is publicized as well. And so we'll have a little bit more information when that happens. And then pending that response and public response, there would be a vote with City Council on how to proceed.
Now, this kind of project could mean a huge economic impact for the city. What
Absolutely.
kind of money dollar figures have been discussed at this point?
So, with a project like this, the developer pays for the entire development upfront, and then the TIF kind of gives him a percentage of that money related to infrastructure back if they meet certain standards of occupational tax, number of employees, things like that can be included. But the total infrastructure cost that would go into this project would be over $11 million. And then when you add in retail and restaurant components, it would be over a $32 million project. One exciting piece of this is that currently there's no occupational taxes brought in from that area. So any increase would be a really positive increase of revenue for the city as well as the county. And so they're looking at this project offering around 250 new jobs, which is very exciting, as well as, if depending on what restaurants could go there, different things, you'll have restaurant tax as well. So a really promising project that I hope to see come to fruition.
It would be nice to have something similar to Hamburg in our region, and this could be the beginning of that, something like that.
Absolutely. This developer is the developer behind Hamburg, as well as involved in the Summit project in Lexington, if you're familiar with that, as well as projects all throughout Kentucky and Ohio and other states as well.
Now, there is, you were talking about how there's going to be a hearing, and there is a hearing happening for the current, that has to do with the current TIF district in downtown Moorhead. There's a hearing later this week for, but it's not about the TIF district per se. Tell me a little bit
Yes, it
about what's
is.
happening.
That hearing is to further establish a historic district in downtown Moorhead. And so that will be held over Zoom as well. It's through Frankfurt, but downtown Moorhead is leading that project to get that established so that people, if they choose to and if they qualify, they can have their buildings and property counted as historic pieces, which open them up to additional tax credits that they could apply for.
Very cool. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Fostering creative and performing arts, the Rowan County Arts Center is home to studio artists, an art gallery, and auditorium suitable for plays, concerts, weddings, and other community events. Located on Main Street in downtown Moorhead, the Rowan County Arts Center can be reached at 783-9857, Facebook, Instagram, and online at rowancountyartscenter.com.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Moorhead, Laura White Brown. A lot to talk about. Thank you so much for being on the show.
I'm happy to be here.
We're talking about the city council meeting that happened earlier this week. There was a lot of different things on the agenda. Quite an in-depth conversation was had. One of the discussions that the group had was about tax rates that are coming up every year. Cities and municipalities and any kind of governing body have to set the tax rate. And this one unanimously was decided.
It was. So the city council voted to keep property taxes the same. So there will not be an increase this year. Now, that was the first reading, but as a unanimous vote, I don't expect any changes before the second reading. But city council really felt that given COVID and the financial implications that this year has brought to people, that keeping rates the same and not increasing them was very important.
Yeah. Generally, though, historically, the city usually raises each and every year the compensating rate.
Correct. It's been pretty historic that the compensating rate is what the city goes with to increase. If you don't do a compensating rate, you can do up to a 4% increase, which years back was also very common. So this is kind of the first year in a long time that the rates will be staying the same and not increasing.
Speaking of COVID impacts, I know that the city had to do some ordinances for the budgets. The first reading of the ordinance amending this past year's budget, and then also for the next year's budget, already making amendments to a budget that just began just a couple months ago at the beginning of July. Let's talk a little bit about some of the changes that are required at this point.
We knew going into this fiscal year that budget amendments would probably have to happen often. A lot of that is because COVID has created so many unknown financial decisions and planning. So we expect to see additional amendments as we go through the year. But this amendment had some really important pieces to myself, and also I think very important to employees. So one piece of that was we did a $50,000 amendment for the entertainment district development. So in that piece, we will include some money for public art. So we're hoping to see some murals come to town. We are also looking at kind of some more permanent and more aesthetically pleasing pieces like tables and chairs in the Bats and Oats area. Right now, we're just using folding tables from the Carl Perkins Center, but that area is really becoming popular. So we want to continue to dress it up. We're also looking at lighting and shading, as well as improvements to the new Moorhead Women's Park, kind of further down the street. And then we'd also like to get a consultant involved and help us come up with kind of the vision for the overall entertainment district with that amount of money. We know that it'll be a continuous process, but this kind of sets some money aside to get us started with that.
I know I recently saw in a story about some businesses in the Lexington area trying to prepare their outdoor seatings for the colder months. I mean, it was kind of chilly this morning. It was like 55 when I woke up this morning. So fall is coming, and I feel like there's going to need to be some adjustments for a lot of businesses downtown. But is there any discussion from the city about the outdoor seating area that the city is providing?
There is actually one of the pieces that we're looking at purchasing are some outdoor heaters. So that way people can sit outside. You know, sometimes there's still really nice days into December. You may need a little bit of a heater or wear a sweater, but it's still appropriate to be outside. And so we really want to make sure we do everything we can to accommodate as we move into the colder months.
I remember last year, day before Thanksgiving, it was like 68 outside. It was really windy, but I went hiking and that was really nice. So I remember that, you know, sometimes even late into November and December, there are still great days that you want to be outside. There was also a discussion about some code ordinance changes as far as meeting with the city council goes. I guess the pandemic requiring the city to be more flexible and to meet virtually kind of pushed the city as a group to make some changes, to make some decisions on some changes.
Yeah, so COVID, you know, has required us to really think outside the box for how to meet with each other as far as municipalities, but also with other organizations. So we did have the first reading of an ordinance that would allow council members to join via video teleconferencing. So if someone is unavailable to be in person, whether that is for sickness or travel or whatever it may be, they will now be able to participate over video and still vote appropriately. We just have to provide a notice prior to that meeting.
I feel like the city was putting all the meetings on Facebook before the pandemic hit. There was a real push for transparency. So even if an individual couldn't make it down to the city building in order to attend a meeting, it was really easy to watch either live or tune in later and see exactly what business of the city had happened during the meetings. And, you know, that's been even easier to do via Zoom. Have you seen an increase in this residents trying to give feedback or participating in business matters because of that change?
We are able to track kind of the number of people or views of the city council meetings. The views have been wildly popular, which we're excited to see the community really being engaged and informing themselves on city business. We typically are averaging over 400 views per council meeting, which is very significant for us. Depending on the issue, we'll get some feedback after, but one thing we can really gauge are how many people are tuning in for those meetings.
I know that I've attended some in-person city council meetings where it was like me and other people who worked for the city, and that was it. So it's nice to see a more participation from the community, and I feel like that's going to impact how things move along in the future.
Absolutely. You know, just being able to provide any additional resource to be involved, it creates, you know, inclusivity in the city, which is very important. But also, we want to hear from people. We want people to be engaged. It's for the betterment of the entire community.
Now, I know this is something that wasn't really on the agenda, but it's something that's in the forefront of people's mind. Before the pandemic hit, there was a huge emphasis on recreation within the city. Laughlin was leased, and it's been closed since March, and there's not youth league sports that have been happening, not only because of the pandemic, but not a lot of people signed up. But usually during this time, you can't drive past one of the grade schools without seeing tons of people outside playing soccer or practicing basketball or football. And it's very strange to not have those youth leagues. So what's in the works right now for community recreation? I know that it's difficult to plan things with the pandemic, but is that being discussed right now?
We discuss recreation almost daily within the city. The next piece that would be on our schedule would be fall and winter basketball leagues. So we're kind of evaluating that and watching the guidance from the governor as well. We also incorporate the decisions that the school system and the university make as far as their recreation and athletics go, so that we can all be on the same page. So we're hoping within the next few weeks to make a final decision on basketball. But again, it just depends how many people sign up. You know, we tried to do a fall baseball and softball league, but the numbers were so low for signups that we were unable to have that in our community. So we'll see. We kind of judge it day by day.
As everything continues to change each and every day, it's kind of hard. There's no precedent. And that's kind of been a problem from the beginning of the pandemic, is how do you make these decisions that can hugely impact your community when there's kind of no guidance to even start with?
Yeah, it's definitely unprecedented times. And we find ourselves, you know, talking in circles most days and weighing the pros and cons of all of the options and decisions that we're making.
It is nice to be able to keep up with those via social media. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Mayor of Moorhead, Laura White Brown, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.